Worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the book of Psalms, Psalm 1, beginning at verse 1. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers, but they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. But not the wicked. They are like worthless chaff scattered by the wind. They will be condemned at the time of judgment. Sinners will have no place among the godly. For the Lord watches over the path of the godly, but the path of the wicked leads to destruction. Then, staying in the book of Psalms, Psalm 112, beginning at verse 1. Praise the Lord! How joyful are those who fear the Lord and delight in obeying His commands. Their children will be successful everywhere. An entire generation of godly people will be blessed. They themselves will be wealthy, and their good deeds will last forever. Light shines in the darkness for the godly. They are generous, compassionate, and righteous. Good comes to those who lend money generously and conduct their business fairly. Such people will not be overcome by evil. Those who are righteous will be long remembered. They do not fear bad news. They confidently trust the Lord to care for them. They are confident and fearless and can face their foes triumphantly. They share freely and give generously to those in need. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. They will have influence and honor. The wicked will see this and be infuriated. They will grind their teeth in anger. They will slink away, their hopes thwarted. All of Psalm 112. Thank you, Lord, once again, for the privilege of being able to talk to you, listen to you, commune with you through your word and in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for the fact that you're our wonderful and blessed Heavenly Father who will take as much time with His children as we will take with you. Lord, thank you for the many ways your word pours grace, peace, power, mercy, love, and light into our hearts, our minds, our lives. Help us to be a people that are committed to filling our hearts and our minds with your word daily and walking in its power, its wisdom, and grace daily. Thank you, Father, for the fact that as we spend time reading and meditating on your word, as we delight in your word, we're delighting in you, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you for the privilege of being able to spend as much time with you as we so choose, and help us to be wise enough to choose to spend a lot of time every day. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Isaac Jackson. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, I know that in your scriptures it says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. So, Father, I ask that you'd help us to hide your word in our hearts. Father, I ask that you'd help us to memorize scripture, that you'd create a hunger and a desire, and you'd help us grow in stewardship and in discipline for memorizing scripture, Father. Father, also, I just want to say thank you that we can get to know you, for you are good, you are love. Father, you say that we're supposed to learn more about what is good and learn more about what is evil to understand the differences. So, Father, I ask that we'd get to know you better because you are fully love. Thank you so much, Father, for how you grow us and how you are the good teacher. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. You know, if you listen on a regular basis, you may recall that we deal with spiritual disciplines or spiritual habits pretty regularly as a part of some of the themes that we address on the Hour of Intercession. And a goal, one of the goals behind that, of course, is that you in your own life will come to be very committed to establishing spiritual disciplines as a regular part of your lifestyle. I want to encourage you to grasp this important truth that spiritual disciplines are battle strategies for life. And, you know, when you think of the term battle strategy, well, of course, we're talking about spiritual warfare. And for persons that don't like the idea of talking about spiritual warfare, how unfortunate that is, because life is not a beach. It's not a park. Life is a battlefield. Every day of your life, you step out onto the battlefield of life. And so the wisest way to approach life is as a kingdom warrior who's well-equipped, who knows Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and is well-equipped with the Word of God and the Spirit of God to go out and to know how to walk victoriously every single day. So I want to encourage you to grasp this important fact that spiritual disciplines or spiritual habits, and keep in mind, spiritual disciplines is basically a fancy word for spiritual habits. A discipline is a habit. And of course, you and I form habits around things that are important to us. And so it's important that you get very serious about reading and studying the Word of God every day of your life. It should be one of the highest priorities, if not the most important priority you set for the day, spending time in the Word of God. Remember, when you're reading and studying the Word of God, when you're spending time with the Word of God, you're spending time with Jesus. He's speaking to you. He's counseling you. He's molding and shaping you. He's encouraging you. He's strengthening you. He's nourishing you in so many things and blessing you in so many ways. So the time you spend in the Word of God is much more valuable than any of us grasp. So whether you fully grasp it or sort of grasp it or not, make it a high priority to spend much time in God's Word. Again, we pretty regularly encourage the goal of reading at least 3 chapters in your Bible every day. But keep in mind, you can read your average 3 chapters in about 15 to 20 minutes. Doesn't take a long time. But if you decide 3 chapters is not enough, which is actually a wise conclusion, you may decide you want more, because remember, the Bible is a bottle of grace, and it's as if every day God's question is, how much do you want? So if you'll be wise enough to fill your heart and mind with the Word daily, it's its own reward, because God is pouring grace into your life through His Word. I don't have the ability to overemphasize how important spending time with God and His Word is in your life and how much it'll bless your life. It literally pours grace into your life and into every area of your life. The more time you spend in the Word, probably every single believer in the whole world, when they get to heaven and realize how valuable time in the Word of God was, they probably will in some capacity say, if I'd known how valuable it was, I would have spent so much more time in reading my Bible and studying it. Well, you have the opportunity today to start, because the fact is, yes, it's much more valuable than you and I fully grasp. So spending that time. So if you decide you want to do 4 chapters every day, 5 chapters, 10 chapters, whatever number, you're wise, because it'll bless you more and more and more. You can't get too much of God's Word, because you can't get too much grace. It'll just bless you more and more and more. So getting into the Word of God every single day is very, very important. I want to share with you something we've shared on a number of other occasions, but in just a few moments, a listing that says it's 10 excellent reasons to read God's Word daily. But we're going to take time to pray Psalm 91 first. Now, keep in mind, if you're not praying Psalm 91 every day, today is a wise day to start, because remember, it's a wonderful and a unique weapon in Scripture that'll bless your life, but also that deals with, it's a weapon that ministers to your physical health. In other words, through praying Psalm 91 daily, it ministers blessing and grace to your physical health, to your body, as well as your spirit. But also, praying Psalm 91 is a wise thing, because we live in a dangerous, crazy world, and no one can protect you like the Lord can. So we're going to take time now to pray Psalm 91. Thank you, Lord, for all those that are part of our listening family, and thank you for all those persons we've lifted up in prayer today. And thank you for your hand of grace upon each and every one of us. Today we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and so we abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Today I say of the Lord, you are our refuge and our fortress. Our God, in you do we trust. Surely you deliver us from the fowler's snare and from the noisome pestilence. You cover us with your feathers, and under your wings do we trust. Your truth is our shield and buckler. And so we are not afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor for the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at our side and 10,000 at our right hand, but it shall not come near us. Only with our eyes shall we look and see the reward of the wicked, because we have made the Lord our refuge, even the Most High our habitation. No evil will befall us, neither shall any plague come near our dwelling. For you give your angels charge over us to keep us in all our ways. They bear us up in their hands, lest we dash our foot against a stone. We tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent. We trample underfoot, because we have set our love upon you. Therefore you deliver us. You set us on high because we have known your name. We call upon you and you answer us. You're with us in trouble. You deliver us and honor us with long life. You satisfy us and show us your salvation. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. And again, if you'd like to get a copy of the Psalm 91 prayer, just email us. We're glad to get it to you. jparker@afa.net is that email again, jparker@afa.net. But I would challenge and encourage every single listener, make it your goal to pray Psalm 91 literally every day. And it's just so, so important. So we'd encourage you to do that. Let me share with you now 10 excellent reasons to read God's Word daily. And I'm going to share scriptures that follow each of these again. Number one, it tells you how to genuinely be saved and how to grow up in your faith. See John 3:16, Psalm 119, verse 105, Romans 12:1 and 2, and Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Number two, a second reason to read the Word daily, it gives you clear guidance and direction for much of your life. See Psalm 119, verse 105, and 2 Timothy 3:15 to 17. A third reason to read the Word daily, it empowers your prayer life. See Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Number four, it sharpens your ability to hear the Holy Spirit more and more clearly in your life. See 1 Corinthians 1:5. A fifth reason to read the Word daily, it ministers to your mind, body, and spirit. See Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 22. Sixth reason to read the Word daily, it helps you maintain your mental health. See Proverbs 4, verses 20 through 22. Number seven, it increases the anointing of God on every area of your life. See 1 Corinthians 1:5. An eighth reason to read the Word daily, it increases your wisdom in every area of your life. See Proverbs chapter 1, verse 3. Number nine, it enhances your intellect and your personality. See 1 Corinthians 1:5. And a tenth reason to read the Word of God daily is because it pours grace, peace, mercy, and joy into your spirit, your mind, and your life. See 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. 1 Timothy 1:2, and Galatians 5:22. So again, if you're not reading your Bible every day, today is a wonderful day to start that habit. And again, three chapters is a good basic spiritual meal for you and your life. So I would challenge and encourage you to prayerfully consider starting that habit today. And to every parent that is listening as well, keep in mind, I would encourage you to start the habit of having each of your children to read the Word of God out loud to you in your home every day. Yes, turn off all the electronic things, the cell phones, the games and TVs, and have them to come and sit and read the Word of God to you. And remember, there's nothing better for your child than the Word of God. Remember, so many times children, sadly, are pouring toxic darkness into their hearts and their minds as they get on the internet and as they look at so many things on the internet. God's Word is pure light. There's nothing better for the mind, heart, and body of a child than consuming the wonderful Word of God every single day. Lord, thank you for every individual listening, every parent listening, every person that works with young people as well. Anoint us afresh with the Spirit of grace. Help us to be wise enough and committed enough and passionate enough to help teach, train, and encourage our children to read the Word of God out loud to us daily, and thus for them to receive the light, the blessing, the grace, the encouragement, the empowerment that comes from your precious and powerful Word. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back.
You're the king of these people. You're the lord of this nation. You are. You're the light in this darkness. You're the hope to the hopeless. You're the peace to the restless. You are. There is no one like our God. There is no one like our God. For greater things have yet to come, and greater things are still to be done in this city.
Music from Passion with God of This City. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Picking up reading through the Word of God in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 25, beginning at verse 1. Amaziah was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 29 years. His mother was Jehoadin from Jerusalem. Amaziah did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight, but not wholeheartedly. When Amaziah was well established as king, he executed the officials who had assassinated his father. However, he did not kill the children of the assassins, for he obeyed the command of the Lord as written by Moses in the book of the law. Parents must not be put to death for the sins of their children, nor children for the sins of their parents. Those deserving to die must be put to death for their own crimes. Then Amaziah organized the army, assigning generals and captains for all Judah and Benjamin. He took a census and found that he had an army of 300,000 select troops, 20 years old and older, all trained in the use of spear and shield. He also paid about 7,500 pounds of silver to hire 100,000 experienced fighting men from Israel. Going back to verse 6, he also paid about 7,500 pounds of silver to hire 100,000 experienced fighting men from Israel. But a man of God came to him and said, "Your Majesty, do not hire troops from Israel, for the Lord is not with Israel. He will not help those people of Ephraim. If you let them go with your troops into battle, you will be defeated by the enemy no matter how well you fight. God will overthrow you, for he has the power to help you or to trip you up." Amaziah asked the man of God, "But what about all the silver I paid to hire the army of Israel?" The man of God replied, "The Lord is able to give you much more than this." So Amaziah discharged the hired troops and sent them back to Ephraim. This made them very angry with Judah, and they returned home in a great rage. Then Amaziah summoned his courage and led his army to the Valley of Salt, where they killed 10,000 Edomite troops from Seir. They captured another 10,000 and took them to the top of a cliff and threw them off, dashing them to pieces on the rocks below. Meanwhile, the hired troops that Amaziah had sent home raided several of the towns of Judah between Samaria and Beth-horon. They killed 3,000 people and carried off great quantities of plunder. When King Amaziah returned from slaughtering the Edomites, he brought with him idols taken from the people of Seir. He set them up as his own gods, bowed down in front of them, and offered sacrifices to them. This made the Lord very angry, and he sent a prophet to ask, "Why do you turn to gods who could not even save their own people from you?" But the king interrupted him and said, "Since when have I made you the king's counselor? Be quiet now before I have you killed." So the prophet stopped with this warning, "I know that God has determined to destroy you because you have done this and have refused to accept my counsel." After consulting with his advisors, King Amaziah of Judah sent this challenge to Israel's king Jehoash, the son of Jehoahaz and grandson of Jehu, "Come and meet me in battle." But King Jehoash of Israel replied to King Amaziah of Judah with this story. "Out in the Lebanon mountains, a thistle sent a message to a mighty cedar tree, 'Give your daughter in marriage to my son.' But just then, a wild animal of Lebanon came by and stepped on the thistle, crushing it. You are saying, 'I have defeated Edom,' and you are very proud of it. But my advice is to stay at home. Why stir up trouble that will only bring disaster on you and the people of Judah?" But Amaziah refused to listen, for God had determined to destroy him for turning to the gods of Edom. So King Jehoash of Israel mobilized his army against King Amaziah of Judah. The two armies drew up their battle lines at Beth Shemesh in Judah. Judah was routed by the army of Israel, and its army scattered and fled for home. King Jehoash of Israel captured Judah's king, Amaziah son of Joash and grandson of Ahaziah, at Beth Shemesh. Then he brought him to Jerusalem, where he demolished 600 feet of Jerusalem's wall from the Ephraim gate to the corner gate. He carried off all the gold and silver and all the articles from the temple of God that had been in the care of Obed-Edom. He also seized the treasures of the royal palace, along with hostages, and then returned to Samaria. King Amaziah of Judah lived for 15 years after the death of King Jehoash of Israel. The rest of the events in Amaziah's reign, from beginning to end, are recorded in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. After Amaziah turned away from the Lord, there was a conspiracy against his life in Jerusalem, and he fled to Lachish. But his enemies sent assassins after him, and they killed him there. They brought his body back on a horse, and he was buried with his ancestors in the city of David. 2 Chronicles chapter 26. All the people of Judah had crowned Amaziah's 16-year-old son, Uzziah, as king in place of his father. After his father's death, Uzziah rebuilt the town of Elath and restored it to Judah. Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 52 years. His mother was Jecoliah from Jerusalem. He did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight, just as his father Amaziah had done. Uzziah sought God during the days of Zechariah, who taught him to fear God. And as long as the king sought guidance from the Lord, God gave him success. Uzziah declared war on the Philistines and broke down the walls of Gath, Jabneh, and Ashdod. Then he built new towns in the Ashdod area and in other parts of Philistia. God helped him in his wars against the Philistines, his battles with the Arabs of Gur, and his wars with the Maonites. The Maonites paid annual tribute to him, and his fame spread even to Egypt, for he had become very powerful. Uzziah built fortified towers in Jerusalem, at the corner gate, at the valley gate, and at the angle in the wall. He also constructed forts in the wilderness and dug many water cisterns. Because he kept great herds of livestock in the foothills of Judah and on the plains. He was also a man who loved the soil. He had many workers who cared for his farms and vineyards, both on the hillsides and in the fertile valleys. Uzziah had an army of well-trained warriors ready to march into battle, unit by unit. This army had been mustered and organized by Jael, the secretary of the army, and his assistant, Maaseiah. They were under the direction of Hananiah, one of the king's officials. These regiments of mighty warriors were commanded by 2,600 clan leaders. The army consisted of 307,500 men, all elite troops. They were prepared to assist the king against any enemy. Uzziah provided the entire army with shields, spears, helmets, coats of mail, bows and sling stones. And he built structures on the walls of Jerusalem, designed by experts to protect those who shot arrows and hurled large stones from the towers and the corners of the wall. His fame spread far and wide, for the Lord gave him marvelous help, and he became very powerful. But when he had become powerful, he also became proud, which led to his downfall. He sinned against the Lord his God by entering the sanctuary of the Lord's temple and personally burning incense on the incense altar. Azariah the high priest went in after him with 80 other priests of the Lord, all brave men. They confronted King Uzziah and said, "It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord. This is the work of the priests alone, the descendants of Aaron, who are set apart for this work. Get out of the sanctuary, for you have sinned. The Lord God will not honor you for this." Uzziah, who was holding an incense burner, became furious. But as he was standing there, raging at the priests before the incense altar in the Lord's temple, leprosy suddenly broke out on his forehead. When Azariah the high priest and all the other priests saw the leprosy, they rushed him out, and the king himself was eager to get out because the Lord had struck him. So King Uzziah had leprosy until the day he died. He lived in isolation in a separate house, for he was excluded from the temple of the Lord. His son Jotham was put in charge of the royal palace, and he governed the people of the land. The rest of the events of Uzziah's reign, from beginning to end, are recorded by the prophet Isaiah, son of Amos. When Uzziah died, he was buried with his ancestors. His grave was in a nearby burial field belonging to the kings, for the people said he had leprosy, and his son Jotham became the next king. 2 Chronicles chapter 27. Jotham was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 16 years. His mother was Jerusha, the daughter of Zadok. Jotham did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight. He did everything his father Uzziah had done, except that Jotham did not sin by entering the temple of the Lord. But the people continued in their corrupt ways. Jotham rebuilt the upper gate of the temple of the Lord. He also did extensive rebuilding on the wall of the hill of Ophel. He built towns in the hill country of Judah, and constructed fortresses and towers in the wooded areas. Jotham went to war against the Ammonites and conquered them. Over the next 3 years, he received from them an annual tribute of 7,500 pounds of silver, 50,000 bushels of wheat, and 50,000 bushels of barley. Verses 1 through 5, 2 Chronicles chapter 27. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Anoint us afresh with the spirit of grace that would cause us to have a growing hunger for your word. Help us to be wise enough to daily make one of the highest priorities of our day to get into your word, to read and meditate and to think on your word and to learn from it as well. Lord, more and more guide us. Anoint us as married couples and as families to make spending time in the word together a priority. And Father, more and more help us as parents to be wise enough to teach and train our children to read and meditate in your word each and every day. Father, what a gift your word is to us. Thank you for the light, the peace, the power, the joy, the strength, the encouragement that flows more and more into our lives as we read and meditate on it. And thank you for the opportunity we have of spending as much time in your word as we choose to. We thank you and we praise you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we're reading through the Word of God. We'll be right back. Rebecca St. James with Kingdom Come. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We continue now reading through the Word of God as we pick up in the New Testament. Revelation chapter 21, beginning at verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, "Look, God's home is now among his people. Look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever." And the one sitting on the throne said, "Look, I'm making everything new." And then he said to me, "Write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true." And he also said, "It is finished. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the springs of the water of life. All who are victorious will inherit all these blessings, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. But cowards, unbelievers, the corrupt, murderers, the immoral, those who practice witchcraft, idol worshippers, and all liars. Their fate is in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. Then one of the seven angels who held the seven bowls containing the seven last plagues came and said to me, "Come with me. I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." So he took me in the spirit to a great high mountain, and he showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God and sparkled like a precious stone, like jasper, as clear as crystal. The city wall was broad and high, with 12 gates guarded by 12 angels, and the names of the 12 tribes of Israel were written on the gates. There were 3 gates on each side, east, north, south, and west. The wall of the city had 12 foundation stones, and on them were written the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The angel who talked to me held in his hand a gold measuring stick to measure the city, its gates, and its walls. When he measured it, he found it was a square, as wide as it was long. In fact, its length and width and height were each 1,400 miles. Then he measured the walls and found them to be 216 feet thick, according to the human standard used by the angel. The wall was made of jasper, and the city was pure gold, as clear as glass. The wall of the city was built on foundation stones inlaid with 12 precious stones. The first was jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, the sixth carnelian, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were made of pearls, each gate from a single pearl, and the main street was pure gold, as clear as glass. I saw no temple in the city, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. And the city has no need for sun or moon, for the glory of God for the glory of God illuminates the city, and the Lamb is its light. The nations will walk in its light, and the kings of the world will enter the city in all their glory. Its gates will never be closed at the end of day, because there is no night there. And all the nations will bring their glory and honor into the city. Nothing evil will be allowed to enter, nor anyone who practices shameful idolatry and dishonesty, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Revelation chapter 22. Then the angel showed me a river with the water of life, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. It flowed down the center of the main street. On each side of the river grew a tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, with a fresh crop each month. The leaves were used for medicine to heal the nations. No longer will there be a curse upon anything, for the throne of God and of the Lamb will be there, and his servants will worship him, and they will see his face, and his name will be written on their foreheads. And there will be no night there, no need for lamps or sun, for the Lord God will shine on them, and they will reign forever and ever. Then the angel said to me, "Everything you have heard and seen is trustworthy and true. The Lord God, who inspires his prophets, has sent his angel to tell his servants what will happen soon. Look, I'm coming soon. Blessed are those who obey the words of prophecy written in this book. I, John, am the one who heard and saw all these things. And when I heard and saw them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed them to me. But he said, no, don't worship me. I'm a servant of God, just like you and your brothers, the prophets, as well as all who obey what is written in this book. Worship only God. Then he instructed me, do not seal up the prophetic words of this book, for the time is near. Let the one who is doing harm continue to do harm. Let the one who is vile continue to be vile. Let the one who is righteous continue to live righteously. Let the one who is holy continue to be holy. Look, I am coming soon, bringing my reward with me to repay all people according to their deeds. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes. They will be permitted to enter through the gates of the city and eat the fruit from the tree of life. Outside the city are the dogs, the sorcerers, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idol worshippers, and all who love to live a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this message for the churches. I am both the source of David and the heir to his throne. I am the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let anyone who hears this say, come. Let anyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who desires drink freely from the water of life. And I solemnly declare to everyone who hears the words of prophecy written in this book, if anyone adds anything to what is written here, God will add to that person the plagues described in this book. And if anyone removes any of the words from this book of prophecy, God will remove that person's share in the tree of life and in the holy city that are described in this book. He who is the faithful witness to all these things says, yes, I'm coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. May the grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's holy people. End of the book of Revelation. Thank you, Father, once again for your wonderful, powerful, and blessed word. Thank you for the blessings that are ours as we make time. We really make time to read, to meditate on, to listen to your word. More and more, Father, help us to make it the priority. You've called us to make it the time to spend time in your word. And Lord, as we're looking forward to, looking by your grace and mercy, looking at a new year, help us to be wise enough to make it the priority you have called us to make it, of getting into your word, feasting on your word every single day. And help us as couples, married couples, help us as families, help us as individual believers to grow an understanding of how important it really is to do just that. Thank you for us as the church, and thank you for us as a nation, Lord. Thank you for your hand of grace upon us. Flood us with the spirit of revival and renewal and grace, Lord. Lord, and help us, Lord, as the church and as a nation, to put you first. Help us to make no graven images. Help us, Lord, to not take your name in vain. Help us, Lord, to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Help us, Lord, to honor our fathers and our mothers. Help us to not murder. Help us to not commit adultery. Help us to not steal. Help us to tell the truth. Help us to not covet, in Jesus' name. And thank you again for each of us as a nation. And thank you for your mercy at work in our lives. More and more, help us to be about your business. Help us to make evangelism and discipleship the priority you'd have us to make it. And help us to be your people who are walking in love and reaching out to a hurting world that is in so many ways been a world that's been beat up and left on the side of the road for dead. Help us to be the church of compassion, the church of mercy, the church of grace that you've called us to be. Help us to walk in your loving kindness as a lifestyle. And thank you for the privilege of being your hands and feet in the world Fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit. Fill us with your joy, peace, and grace, and help us more and more to imitate you in everything we do. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you again for listening to the Hour of Intercession as we've been reading through the Word of God. Again, if you don't already have the habit of reading at least 3 chapters in your Bible every day, today is a wonderful day to start that very important habit. As we usually do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening today and you know you have never made the eternally important decision of asking Christ to come into your heart to be your Lord and Savior and seeking to be saved, today is a good day to make that step. Would you, from your heart, pray this prayer with us to make that step even now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into the world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for the wrong things that I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, today I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to follow you daily. Help me to read your word daily. Help me to pray daily. Help me to obey you daily. Thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you gave your heart to Christ and prayed that prayer, we want to connect with you. We'd like to be in touch with you once again. My email is joseph@afr.net. We would like to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Please do email us in order to get that. We definitely want to get it into your hands. Again, joseph@afr.net. If you wanted to get a copy of the Psalm 91 prayer, we're glad to share that with you as well, or any of the other our discipleship materials we've mentioned on the broadcast, same email, simply email us, ask. We're glad to share them with you, obviously at no charge. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.